Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, 5 through 7, and 24 to 25. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on to me to take away my reproach among people." Well, I'm sure you have seen, if you've been watching any television, there's usually commercials that you make the rounds, or at least the idea, the concept of them. And maybe you've seen this, maybe in a movie, maybe on a commercial, but a super cute, tiny, cuddly, fuzzy ball wearing a bright red bow around its neck. You know what I'm talking about? Tracing, we'll keep going. Usually comes bouncing around the corner, or it peeks its head out of a box as soon as the kid or the special someone lifts the loosely fitting lid, right? It's adorable, starts giving kisses, tumbling out over its clumsy, oversized paws. What am I talking about?
Puppy.
But have you really, and I see that and it's like, oh, that's nice. But then you think about the logistics of the puppy in the box. Have you thought about, the logistics of this form? Like, if you thought about putting that bundle of love and joy into the box, mention the dog hair and like accident, I'm not trying to ruin the commercial for you, but I was thinking about the whole, maybe because this is not happening at my house, so don't worry. But puppies, they don't want to be contained inside of a box. You see, you can't wrap them up ahead of time, right? That's wrong, illegal, I'm pretty sure, on many levels. So you have to kind of keep them hidden. You have to kind of tie it out, right? Because you have to time it out so when the kids come that the dog will stay in the box so that you can pop open. You never thought about this before? Or maybe some people have. Like, just the thing is, a puppy is not containable really inside of a box. It wasn't made for that. It wasn't created for that. The energy of it, the joy that it kind of has. And even more than that, when somebody gets something like that, they want to show everyone, right? Look what I got for Christmas. Look at this puppy. You go everywhere you go. Even when you go to the dentist, right, Sal? People are like, look at this puppy. And you're like, can't bring a dog in here. But they're so happy about it. It's like, well, I got to give them a second because they're so happy about it. And then people want to grab everyone else who's around and say, and they send a picture, they put it on Facebook or Instagram or any of the things that they're kind of doing and saying, look what I got for Christmas. I got this puppy. Well, I have good news for us this morning. We can have something similar. It's not as hairy and does not make as much of a mess, but we get joy and it's just the same. It's just as boundless. It's just as uncontainable. It overflows. And when we've experienced joy, just like with someone who gets this dog as a present, maybe they want to show as many people as they can. And the same thing when we really tap into joy. And that's what we're celebrating on this third Sunday of Advent. As we talked about, Advent means anticipating, means waiting for the coming. It's preparation time. And it's time to celebrate. But we look at this third candle, the pink candle, that represents joy. And it's the joy that we get from God. In our reading from Luke 1, we have a story about Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, and they're the parents of who? John the Baptist. This is good. You didn't know there'd be a quiz, but there is a quiz. And they, who John the Baptist was sent to kind of prepare the way for Jesus to come. He's the one who prepares the way, gets things ready. He's the last prophet before Jesus comes, the Messiah. And Zechariah was a priest, and he gets a visit from the angel, and that's not what we read about this morning, but the story is, He's going in to do the duties of the high priest or the priestly duties of the day, and an angel appears to him and says, "You're gonna have a baby," and then he can't talk, and he's not able to speak after that. And the big thing about this passage is that Zechariah and Elizabeth were old, right? Now, I won't get into how old they were, because any age that I pick, somebody would be like, well, 70s old, huh? Or 80s old. So I'm not going to go anywhere near that. For some of us, 50 is old. Or, you know, so I'm not going to go there because now I'm in trouble. So anyway, you can assume that they were well beyond the years of childbearing, okay? I don't want to get in trouble with anything, but I'm just saying that they were older. And they, you know, they weren't able to have kids. And Zechariah questioned what he had heard from the angel, because it was such a shocker for them. And because he was kind of questioning it, all of a sudden, you know, the angel says, you're not going to be able to talk until the baby comes, which is mind-blowing. But today I want to take a closer look at Elizabeth, especially in the joy that she experienced. But the thing is, to understand Elizabeth's joy, we have to understand a little bit of her pain. And that's kind of the mixture of what we talked about with in the kids' corner today. You see, for the ancient Jews, children were like viewed as a tremendous blessing, and having them in the culture was even bigger deal than we can even imagine. You know, Psalm 127 kind of talks about, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. These scriptures are things that she would have heard a lot over and over again. They passed on the family name. They were part of the heritage. They provided more hands for the daily tasks. They were a gift from God. They were actually seen as divine favor. They were a source, you know, to be childless, as Elizabeth was great frustration, sorrow, shame, all kind of mixed together. She would have experienced all of these emotions, because she probably would have gotten married really young to Zechariah, maybe as a teenager, and she probably would have hoped for kids and what it would have been like, and, you know, all these other things, and, you know, thinking about what they're going to name their babies and things like that. But after a while, it wasn't happening for them. Maybe the timing wasn't right, they thought, and friends probably offered encouragement and, you know, were sorrowful with her. But eventually, you know, she started to kind of give up, you know, give up the fact that it was even possible that she could even have a child. And at some point, the stigma on her would have stuck, and they called her, in the scripture, they called her barren. They would use that word, this harsh word, to describe who she was. She wouldn't be considered as worthy or esteemed as other women in the culture at the time. And this was a hard situation. But all through it, as we saw in the scripture, Zechariah and Elizabeth remained faithful to God. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments. And then the magical, amazing thing that we come into is that God came in and changed the whole situation. An ordinary day at work in the temple became a day that changed not just Zechariah's life, not just Elizabeth's life, but the life of everyone in the world. He could have, you know, Elizabeth must have been thinking, you know, he was trying to express it. You think about him not being able to talk. How could you express to your wife, maybe who couldn't read, that you're going to have a baby, right? How do you, like, can you imagine that kind of game of charades? Where it's like, what? I was at the temple, an angel, how do you express any of these things? And be like, you're going to have a baby. It's like, you can't say it. Can you imagine, like, trying to get that across and then her understanding what's going on? It seemed too good to be true. And she probably was like, she probably couldn't even let herself go there. She couldn't even open her heart to the possibility. And what we tell in his account is Elizabeth was immediately on board with this. She wasn't like her husband doubting it. She was, the Lord's dealt with me, and in the days he looked on me, he took take away my reproach among people. She spent 5 months of pregnancy in seclusion, and we don't know why from the scriptures. Maybe she didn't want to let people know until it was really clear that she was. Maybe it was a way of sharing the silence with her husband. But we do know that in the 6th month of her pregnancy, she encountered another experience of joy because of Jesus, who was in Mary's womb at the time. Young Mary left her home and went to be with Elizabeth and was greeted with that unconditional love that we talked about. But when she walked in, when Mary walked in, you know, John the Baptist, like, did a somersault, right? That's what I envision, is he leaped in the womb, which maybe people, I've never experienced that. But I'm sure it's really cool. But Elizabeth's joy overflowed when she greeted Mary. And it continued to flow and to flow into all the different parts of her life. So like the opening illustration, you know, in this scripture, the puppy's out of the box. Joy was overflowing, and true to its nature, it was contagious. Mary burst into her own song of praise and thanksgiving as she gave words to the miracle that was happening to her and was happening to her cousin. These two women shared a joy that could not be contained any longer, a joy that rippled outward, that same joy that resonates and resounds to this very morning here in this very place. When Elizabeth gave birth to John 3 months later, the joy of her miracle spread throughout the village and family. There's then this great joy of her holding her newborn child, but it was overwhelming. She had experienced a miracle that was on so many different levels. The joy must have been so powerful for her. So what would we give to know this kind of joy? The thing is, we can know this kind of joy, this inexpressible, as Peter talks about in 1 Peter 1, inexpressible and glorious joy. We love, like we talked about, we love to be happy. We love to feel good, but happiness can come from many things, right? Birthday parties and songs and messages from friends and our team winning the big game, which I'm not going to mention. A delicious meal. All these things are enjoyable and they should be savored. All these things should be enjoyed, but we talked about with the kids and we've talked about before, joy is much deeper. True joy is based on a relationship with our God, our Creator, through Jesus, who's our source of joy. And like I said, Peter called it an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's the part of the inheritance that we receive from God. It's the promise of life beyond this life that we know. We find that the deep joy fills us no matter the pain that we face here and our day to day. As we turn our eyes expectantly to Jesus in this Christmas season, we experience God's joy. And we know with great confidence, even greater underlying joy awaits us one day that will blow us completely away. But we know that one thing that won't be taken away is that this joy, and it defies our circumstances, and that's what we learn from this passage. Like we said, happiness and joy, we use them interchangeably, but one characteristic of joy is that it can't be taken away. It defies our circumstances. No matter what's going on, we can still be joyful. Happiness comes and goes with positive events, hard events, but joy that's drawn from God sees the big picture. This idea of God with us is beyond the immediate pain. In James chapter 1, he says, brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you fall into trials. Joy understands that there's more to meets the eye there. Joy is the thing that takes the long view, that God's at work even in the tough stuff of our life, and that eventually everything's going to be all right. Because of that, we can experience joy in the here and now, no matter how bad and how the here and now feels. And I don't mean to make light of what we're going through, because a lot of us are going through a lot of hard things. But can I encourage us to look at it from a different angle, to encourage us to see the God view. We may not experience a miracle like Elizabeth's miracle, but in Advent and Christmas, it's a miracle for all of us. The miracle of God come to earth to be with us, to heal, forgive, redeem, restore, and turn things into good. This is a cause for joy even in our darkest day. So God with us in this idea that its circumstances don't change joy. But we also see from this passage that joy ultimately is a choice. We've talked about Mary and before, and we talked about her today as she was with Elizabeth. But when she showed up to her house and she was met with this, love, like she was so glad to just see her, even though things were complicated in her life. But she says these words in 1:46 in Luke, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." These are important words, the key word being rejoice, because she didn't have to. She didn't have to choose joy in that moment. Elizabeth didn't have to choose joy in that moment either. It's like any of those cartoons or older movies where maybe the army sergeant is asking for a volunteer and the mission's dangerous. And so, it will require a brave, true individual willing to put their life on the line. And they say, "Well, somebody step forward and take this." In Star Trek, it'd be the person wearing the red shirt. I don't know if you know Star Trek. But it's like that kind of idea. And you know what happens, right? Everybody does this, right? Everybody steps back, right? And then the entire line steps backward, leaving the main character standing in the front. Now they're kind of volunteered or voluntold that they're going to do it. Mary could have been in a situation, could have found herself in that same situation. She didn't ask to be God's, the mother of God's son. If she had been asked, she might have stepped backwards. But in her perspective, she chooses to rejoice. She, like Elizabeth before her, she chooses joy. She focuses on the big picture and embraces her different role. We can embrace the miracles of God with us as we align our vision with the work that God is doing in and through us. The Bible is filled with so many encouraging passages reminding us to rejoice, probably because we all need the reminders. Rejoicing, that's all right. It's okay, baby. I'm almost done. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. We can daily choose to reconnect with the joy. We have reason for joy because Emmanuel, right? God with us. We can choose to embrace it. We can in this season choose joy. It's like there's this great conference at a church, and I won't say what denomination it was because I don't want to get any denominations in trouble. But people were given helium-filled balloons. I was going to think about doing this, and I was like, oh, man, all these balloons up on the ceiling would be a bad move. But they were given helium-filled balloons during a service, and they said, during the service, when you feel God's joy, release your balloon. You can see why I didn't do it. I'd be up here with a BB gun trying to take out. Actually, I could borrow that from Huey. I could borrow your BB gun, right? Yep. Check with him. But they said, during the service, when you feel God's joy, let your balloon go, and it will rise up and pray. You know, it's kind of a cool, symbolic, you know, kind of thing. But this particular group didn't really feel free to, let's say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. So at the end of it, one third of the balloons were not released. What? One third of the people during the whole service were like, yeah, not feeling the joy enough to release my balloon up into the ceiling. I guess what I'm trying to say is this season, like Elizabeth, like Mary, like Zechariah, like so many others before us in this season, let your joy balloon go. Amen. Choose joy in spirit of circumstances that surround, and let's see what a small group of joyful, really joyful people can have on the impact in this community in which we live, because it can change everything. Let's feel the joy. Amen.